This is an NBA Finals Week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Fox has it with 20 points tonight. Fox now passed to Wemby. Wemby rises. His shot's no good. Rebound Knicks. Game's over. Lucky 13 for the Knicks.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brandon Sprague, Conference Finals Week on The Fan is brought to you by Video Only. For the best deals on Samsung, LG, and Sony TVs, shop Video Only, or you'll be sorry. Dirt and Sprague on 105.1 FM and 1080 AM, The Fan.
Hey, welcome back in. Almost to the second hour. Look at us, huh? We're almost two on time there. Doesn't seem like a me problem. Seems like a them problem. Welcome back in. Hour number two, just starting off here on 105.1 The Fan and what we like to call the Fan Sports Network. Fan text line's 503-864-6326. Hello, happy Monday. There is no Andy Johnson today. Andy Johnson eats at his same local establishment, and it's betray him. He's dealing with the consequences of his actions.
Do you think this will force him to make a switch?
No.
No?
No. If anything, this makes him... Weirdly, when you go through food poisoning, there's two types of people. There is, I'm not eating that thing that I ate for a very long time. My daughter is going through this. The last time my daughter got food poisoning, my youngest, it was a tuna fish sandwich at a place that I actually really like to go to. And she ate it, and it did not sit well with her. She will not eat tuna fish sandwiches now. And she is somebody that's a big tuna fish sandwich person. She's boycotting it. So she's going to ride this out. I'm kind of similar. If I eat a fill-in-the-blank thing and it makes me sick, I will avoid that thing for months. I will not eat it for a very long time. I think he is the kind of person that if you told him tomorrow he had to eat there, I think he would... He would, like, double and triple down and go to it. It's not going to happen again. It just happened. It's impossible. So, no, to answer your question in a long-winded way, I don't believe this will make him reconsider going to the establishment in which he got sick from. And I will not name them because I allow him to do that if he wants to do that tomorrow. Maybe he will surprise us, Swag, and say, I actually hate him now. I'm
out. There you
go. I'm all the way out.
Yeah.
So we'll have to wait and see on that one. But he says he's out today, maybe back tomorrow. A lot to get to in the second hour of the radio program. 2 hours from now, we'll talk with our good friend in San Antonio, Texas. They've got to be sweating bullets over there. Jason Minix.
I would think they'd be a little nervous.
I feel like he's going to hop on and actually say the opposite. That he's going to look at the margins here and he's going to say, did you watch game two? 14-0 run, close the lead.
Oh, certainly.
I mean, do this.
You can say, yeah, it's just a play or two.
Yeah. And so-and-so hasn't played well, and so-and-so hasn't played well.
2 minutes in game one and a couple of plays at the end of game two.
Well, see, and that's, yes.
You could sum it up that way. Sum it up that way or convince yourself that that's all that's different.
Correct.
Before delving into film and stats and analysis and all the other stuff.
So let's go back to game two. We'll get to the game three stuff. Game three is going to be quite the spectacle. I don't want to hype it up too much because I don't want to disappoint myself, but I think it's going to live up to
the
hype.
Was the first fan going to be there? Is that done? He's showing up?
That is supposedly, from all the reading I have read, he is going, the Preezy of the Steezy says he's going to be in his house. James Dolan's invited him. I mean, we can go there if you want, but I want to kind of
talk
about game two.
No, I'm just thinking of how nuts, how early they're
going
to have to open things up to let everybody get through security.
We have watch parties that have to get canceled now for multiple portions of fan base here. Like, I don't understand why is a whole other thing, too. It just feels a little... I don't know, selfish of the individual to be doing it.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about that.
Yeah, how many tickets does that entourage eat up that could normally go to Knicks fans who haven't seen this forever?
Well, are those Knicks fans able to afford it? I mean, that's a whole other conversation.
I'm going to guess that those Knicks fans are finding a way to afford it. Now, there might be problems down the road.
What's the extended line of credit on this card? 15 grand? Charge it.
Third mortgage? Doesn't matter. The Knicks are going to win a title.
It doesn't matter. They're feeling a little something over there. I'm jealous of that feeling, I'll tell you that much. But game two was a doozy. So the Knicks get game one, and the takeaway is like, okay, they won the game by 10. It was a closer margin than that. And Brunson didn't even play well. So let's go into game two. I think a lot of people, including the odds makers, were expecting a Spurs runaway
victory.
They were.
They were bigger favorites in game two than game one.
They doubled down. Hey, this team is better than them. They're going to win, and by a wider margin than we thought they would win in game one. I blindly am just betting the Knicks every game. I'm doing a $5 bet. Knicks.
Oh, there you go.
Knicks money line.
Money line.
Every time. And I'm like, I'm going to lose some of these. That's okay. But I bet it thinking, this is it. Here goes. And the first quarter did not leave me feeling amazing. Knicks came out okay, and then the Spurs do what the Spurs do. They come back, they take a lead, and they're up. 34 points in the first quarter. All right, here we go. Dude, the second quarter is going to be, if the Knicks win the championship, the second quarter, my takeaway is second quarter game two might be the quarter we look back on that doesn't get quite the same lore because fourth quarter stuff is important.
Right.
But we're going to look back and go, hey, you remember that time when Wemby barely shot the basketball and Karl-Anthony Towns made him his bitch? Because that's kind of how it felt watching it. I don't know about you. I don't know about other people out there.
If the Knicks go on and complete this deal and do it relatively quickly.
If they handle their business at home.
And Kat continues, and it's because Kat is
neutralized. He's the MVP of the finals right now.
He's the MVP of the finals.
Karl-Anthony Towns.
Now, Brunson might win it as media say he's the...
They don't do that. They don't... See, people keep saying this.
No, they don't vote that way in this
but finals.
I mean, we saw Andre Iguodala win an
NBA
finals.
That's what I'm saying. And who was the darling of that one? Who was the darling of that team? It was Steph.
Yeah.
But they were like, Steph actually wasn't amazing. Brunson has had some closing moments. He was 7 of 25 for 20
but
points.
But game one, he comes out opening after all we heard about, okay, OG Anunoby, he's going to have the assignment. No, it was Kat right out of the chute, one-on-one. I got you, big man.
Yes.
And he's neutralized him.
Dude, it's just like watching maybe other people made this comparison. It is like watching a boxer stun another boxer.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, you're better than
I was. Or it comes out all of a sudden and he's fighting Southpaw. And you're like, what the hell is this?
Right, I wasn't prepared for this at all.
I spent 2 months training for you. Yeah.
I can't. This is like an all-time. I don't want to go nuts here. He is a very good basketball player. I have argued in some ways against some of the trade stuff in the past that people threw around for him. But I've argued of the idea of, like, you know, he's a good player. And the argument against ever adding in a Karl-Anthony Towns is he's a goofball. He doesn't talk with the same voice and everything. He can't take him seriously in the big moments.
Yeah.
I've been told to my face he's not a winning player. And I'm like, I mean, Minnesota was winning with him. You put the right pieces around him, they would win. They went to a conference finals with him. And I know he let them down last year, but I just look at it and I'm like, this is a complete rewrite of a player and legacy and history of a career. If they can finish this, if he continues playing like this, this is how this league operates. When you do it on the biggest stage in the biggest moments, be damned what your first 5, 6, 7 years can be. You change the narrative of yourself.
Well, one, for somebody like Kat, and you see Wemby is getting all this attention, all this focus. This is going to be the face of the league
He's
for the
arrived.
Next decade.
He's 22.
Whatever.
Watch out. We'll never see another champion.
And then you roll. So he had, I don't know how many games he got to watch, 2 or 3 after they closed it out. And getting with whoever is, whatever assistant works with the big specifically, but to really devise, a scouting report and a game plan.
Yes.
To go up against him.
They
he
got
had
that
a little
sweep
time.
Done early, and I think it was 3 games. I think it was 3 or 4 that they got to watch Oklahoma City and go,
and coach
don't
sitting
do that.
There with
don't
him.
Do that.
And just telling him his tendencies. He says, hey, when he catches it in this spot, he's looking for a 3, or when he's bringing the ball up.
Yes.
If you force him to one side of the floor, he won't come back to them. Those little things, sitting there with a coach, constantly putting those little things, those tendencies, all that stuff in Kat's head, and he had a – basketball IQ arsenal to go out there and just go, okay, I know how I need to defend him to, you know, keep him from destroying us. And it's not that Wemby doesn't have numbers.
Well, but his numbers aren't amazing.
They're not
great. He had 29 points on 21 shots.
Exactly.
What did he have at half? Did he? He shot four times or 4 points?
Something like that, yeah.
Like he was neutralized in the first half of that game.
And Wemby is
a complete shock.
An intellectual player. He's such a thinker that clearly he wasn't expecting to deal with what Cat's throwing at
him. Here's the funny thing.
And his wheels are spinning.
You're not wrong in talking about the coach and this and that. You know what else the coach probably did when they watched the series against Oklahoma City? Hey, just don't be Chet. And he was like, all right, you're right. That's a good point. I won't be the guy who doesn't try hard and is terrified from him. So they have this big second quarter. They're up at half. I am confused. Like, as a Knicks better, and I have Knicks friends in my lives, I am confused. I'm like, how are they up? I watched this game. This is crazy. 18 points. They hold the Spurs to 18 points in the second quarter. Talk about defense in this series. This is a good combination of defense, spread out, good spacing basketball, high-level intellectual decision-making with a mix of the moments, the pressure, the runs. Like, it's all crazy how this series has played out. And the Knicks are up 2-0. So you get to the fourth quarter of things. The Knicks are up 14. It's 97-83. I don't know about you. I don't know about anybody else out there. I'm not eliminating the Spurs in this moment because there's too much time to be played in modern basketball for anybody to think 14 points is comfortable. If they had pushed it 20, I'd have been like, all right, this is over. It's 14 points. It has all the feels of, oh, my God. They've taken over the San Antonio basketball arena more so in game two with their fans than it felt like they did in game one. So it's loud every time the Knicks score. They go on that run. They're up 14. I'm like, oh dear. This is going to be a blowout. They're going to win by 20. And they call a timeout for San Antonio. Wemby does it again. The same thing he did in Oklahoma series. He's on the bench. He's screaming at his guys. He's yelling. Everybody get your butts in order. Let's go. They come back out. 14-0 run. They answer it in 2 minutes. 2 minutes, that's all it took. They're right back into it. Tie game. Here we go. Here's the situation. It was over, we think. No, it's not. And they come back and they tie the game. And then just, I don't even know how you sum up what the last minute of that game was.
Yeah,
it's insanity. You have bad shot selection. Brunson's terrible this whole game. Oh, my God, a fadeaway one-footer again over Vassell. Hey, missed shot at the end of the shot clock. Bad two-for-one situation. Knicks go back. They take a bad shot. Wemby gets the ball. What's he do? Looks ahead. Steph Castle not looking back at him.
Threw it right off his back.
No timeout from Mitch Johnson.
Yep.
Wemby throws it. Hits Steph Castle in the back. Brunson's between them, grabs the ball. What's Wemby do?
Runs into him,
fouls him. I think he momentarily forgot they were in the bonus. Then he realizes he's shooting free throws with 9 seconds left, 8 seconds left, whatever it was. And then Brunson only makes one, misses the second. So one of the clutchest guys in the league misses one of his free throws when you think he's going to ice it. Misses it. Spurs get the ball. Timeout. They design a play. Fox pops out. Screen Wemby. Roll. Kick to Wemby. It's over. He misses the jump shot. And somehow the Knicks go from comfortably potentially winning the game, choking away the lead in a moment that you're like, the momentum's all on one side, to a young team and a young player. And this is part of the reason I picked the Knicks. Now, I don't know if the series is over. I'm not saying this opinion as I think the series is over. Teams that go down 3-0, they don't win. It's 164-0 and 164.
Yes.
It is over if they win tonight.
Yes.
The Knicks, okay? In the history of the league. But as somebody that bet the Knicks in 7, and it might be Knicks in 4, so if you took Knicks in a sweep, boy, that value must have been amazing.
Oh, yes.
This is why I bet against San Antonio. It's not I think the Knicks are playing just all-time great. And I thought Chuck said a really smart thing in the postgame. This is all-time great team chemistry run in playoff history. They're not the best team. They're not the most talented team. But they've won, is it 12 or is it 13 in a row now?
13 now.
13 straight games.
They figured themselves out.
They know, like, Josh Hart does not need to score for them to win these games. He's barely scored in the series.
They understand their roles, and more importantly, they've all accepted their roles.
Brunson's not shooting well. Bridges was cold in game one. He's great in game two. OG Anunoby will have stretches where he's amazing and then stretches where you forget. And Karl-Anthony Towns, as we mentioned, is probably, I think, the finals MVP at this point. The reason I picked the Knicks... One, I think we poo-poo these too much. I think a lot of these teams are closer than we think. Two, I wasn't convinced any team that San Antonio and Oklahoma City went through were better than the Knicks, so they have to be in the mix of one of the top three teams. And three, I just wondered if the youth would catch up in a finals. I know it didn't catch up to them in the conference finals, and they ultimately won a Game 7 on the road, which is just, I mean, you can't speak enough to it. But the youth and the decision making that you've seen on display for San Antonio in the final quarter, I just think it's been a lot of the youth showing itself. Now, you can say it is whatever your reasoning is, Brunson being a big time player, whoever you want to point the finger. Wemby is 1-9 on go ahead field goals in the final 5 seconds of fourth quarter overtime at the end of games. So he's already not had a great track record of that. He adds another negative to it. It's just a different thing to be in the finals in the final minute than it is even the conference finals. It's just an elevated feel to it. You're at home. You're holding serve. You think you're going to get a win here. The Knicks fans have infiltrated your building. It's loud when they score. There's just such a different vibe to this.
Yeah.
And this is what I was wondering going in is the youth didn't show itself all the way in the conference finals. It had its moments. But New York knows who they are. They're longtime veterans. All of these guys, they don't have a Dylan Harper out there. It's Hart, it's Brunson, it's Bridges, it's Towns. Like, you look around that team, dude, it's Mitchell Robinson. It is all guys to what you said, Swag. Guys that know what their roles are. They know where to be, when to be, who to go to. Towns was awesome in the first half of game two. What did he have? 18 at half?
Oh, yeah.
He only finished with 21.
Yeah.
And I thought he got an absolute hosing of the whistle in the second half. I thought Tony Brothers was atrocious in this game.
Tony Brothers is not my favorite.
I thought he was terrible. He took Towns out of the second half of that game with two back-to-back, I thought, bad foul calls. That being said, none of that matters who does well, who doesn't do well in certain moments. They just have a vibe to them. And I'll give Gundy credit, our good friend Eric Gunderson. They have, when you look back at the history of champions, and they just have the feel of some of these destined teams. And so while I thought the 14 Spurs were a team that could absolutely win and beat the Heat, and I thought they would, the way they shot the three ball in that series is all-time stuff. We talk about the Mavericks in 2011. There is that kind of feel and aura to this Knicks team that makes it feel like they have elevated to a level. They're not even playing well, and they're still up 2-0. And I know San Antonio could very well go into the Garden. They're winning games on the road in the playoffs. And all of the hoopla around what game three is, and we'll get to some of that. We'll get to the audio of stuff here in the second hour. But the game two... execution, blowing big lead, but not like how many teams in the NBA can blow a 14-point lead in the fourth quarter, have all the momentum sway the other way,
and then somehow
keep it together, yeah. And then the dumb stuff happens with the other team, and they keep it composed enough to say, hey. And then, like, you could just say it's a make or miss league, and it is, because Wemby just misses a shot that he routinely makes. Mitchell Robinson defended that play really well. That was supposed to be a switch, screen, and roll. He fought. He was not going to allow the switch. They probably said that in the huddle. We ain't switching, dude. Get back. And Robinson read it. He knew exactly what to do. Boom, contest.
No, I didn't see if there was ever a close-up. Did he get him on the wrist or the forearm?
No. Okay. Clean. It was as clean a closeout on a 7'6 guy as you could possibly ask from a 6'11", 7'1 guy. Like, that's all you can ask of Mitchell Robinson. Be close, contend, make it uncomfortable. The moment itself is going to be uncomfortable. and it goes long. And Wimby's not, you know, sitting here conceding. They're certainly going to go in tonight thinking they can get back in the series and make it 2-1. It's been a remarkable run.
Yeah.
And Kenny made a funny joke of like, maybe the Atlanta Hawks are the second best team in the NBA. Right now, they're the only team that has beaten this team multiple times. The Cavs couldn't do it. Yeah. And obviously, you're seeing it. So all the way back to the first round, the last time they lost.
Yeah,
multiple.
The curious thing I'll see about the Knicks early on is there's so much juice in that building that it even affects them as veteran
Does it
as
overflow?
They are.
Yes.
Is it just, yeah.
Dude, the building is going to be buzzing in a way that it hasn't maybe in our whole lives. I'm serious.
Yeah.
What year were you born?
71.
So you would have been two, but like you didn't watch the 73 Knicks win.
No.
The 94 Knicks, obviously, people thought they would maybe win it with no Jordan.
That went seven, and that was...
The 99 Knicks got there in a lockout year. That was a fun story, but they were an 8 seed.
They were over their heads.
And I know New York was happy about both. This feels a little different.
No, there won't have been this much juice since, that Patrick Ewing team.
But I think it's more because they haven't been up.
Yeah, I know.
So here we go. We got game three. Let's get to some of the audio. A couple more reactions. Your thoughts are welcome at 503-864-6326. And the craziness might be added with a certain somebody coming to game three. So we get to some audio of some of the NBA Finals dealings coming up next. Dirt and Sprague, we roll on hour number two. 105.1 The Fan. All right, welcome back in. I will tell you right now, we are a little radio station in Portland, Oregon, USA, as Kevin Calabro would say. How we don't have a T-shirt up online with a blue shirt in orange font that says, my mayor Muslim, my bagel Jewish, my Christian Dior Nixon 4, just to jump on and get any kind of money, is a large oversight by us. What insanity is ensuing in New York right now? And a lot of people have talked about it. There's videos all over, funny audio. That one went pretty viral after they won game two. And now everybody's jumping on the train and making that kind of one of the things. It's going to be a crazy game three. It's one of those, like, nobody wants to say it and everybody wants to fight it. I fought it years ago, and then the Trae Young stuff happened and I had to just admit it. Everybody was right, and I hate saying this, but I'm also there. Like, it's just better when New York is good. Now, they're going to win the championship. They're going to get quickly annoying, and we're going to hate them.
Similar to when the Red Sox broke the curse.
Yeah, it was a fun, wholesome story. Where
and they came
fans
back from 3-0 down to the Yankees and the ALCS.
Yep.
And
they beat the bad guys, and now we're kind of sick of them because they ended up winning
three.
And
then they won three of them.
Yeah, so it was like, all right, go away. And now kids in Boston are like, oh, you know, I haven't won a title in 2 years, and my life's hard.
Shut up. Go pack a car.
Go pack a car. So New York is going to quickly – we're going to hate them. But them winning a championship is
most people,
it's the biggest stage.
You know, don't want to cede New York anything.
No,
there.
but you
this
can't
particular
lie.
Thing in the moment and letting Knicks fans have this moment and just kind of watching with.
Well, I mean, if you hate New York and none of this has changed your stance on it, and I certainly understand why. Boy. Them losing at home in game three, being up 2-0.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's the best thing that possibly happened, I think, for sports fans. But this can make a lot of
the
uncomfortable
only
stuff.
Piece of the Knicks puzzle, if you're just a, you know, if you're just a basketball fan or sports fan and understand the story and everything, is James Dolan doesn't deserve this. But outside of that,
turns out bad owners can win championships potentially.
Exactly.
Just breaking news for any anti-Dundon people out there. Bad owners can even themselves find themselves close to winning a championship. Will he do it? I don't know. We'll see. Have to wait and see what the team's going to do. But your owner can absolutely blow and be terrible, but team might still win a championship. Do you boo the owner? I doubt it because he brought you title, but
no, you don't
to.
Boo the owner, but you're...
He deserves to be booed.
Yes, he does. You're
say.
Focusing on everything else. You love, also, all of the former Knicks that are there.
Do you like seeing all of the Knicks? Are you a fan of that? Like, if Portland had this and then all of the Blazers from years past showed up?
Yes, I think that would be cool because I think they're genuinely appreciating and celebrating this team.
I agree with that. Yeah.
It's not about, hey, I want my 5 minutes or 50, or I want five more minutes after my 15.
Which celebrity with the Knicks winning would you hate it for the most? Like, I'd feel happy to watch Ben Stiller do it. Happy, obviously, for Spike Lee. Spike Lee, talk about going through it, dude. This guy's whole life has been courtside. Like, who is the – is it Timothée Chalamet?
I was talking about all the players.
No, I know, but the celebrity side of this.
Yeah,
like,
Timothée, I think he – yeah, just stay in the background.
He's going to act like he won the title.
No. Like, yeah, let Tracy Morgan be out there.
Oh, you want Tracy Morgan as a part of it?
He's –
So Timothée Chalamet is the one you don't like.
He's a little Johnny come lately.
That's not true. He grew up in New York. He famously met up with, I think he met up with Karl-Anthony Towns.
I think his Knicks fandom is authentic.
It's legitimate.
I'm not questioning his authenticity of that. There's been some dudes that have suffered. McEnroe. Like, McEnroe's a huge Knicks fan. He's there all the time.
You're talking about the guy, he's just the newest to the party. He's just the newest to the party.
So, yeah, we know you're the hottest thing in Hollywood right now, but let some of those guys that have suffered through some really crappy Knicks years.
Let's get to some audio. We had shoot around yesterday at the Garden, and let's start with Mitch Johnson. So look, Wemby throws the ball. Okay, what did you? I got so wrapped up in doing the play by play and the reaction and the emotion. What did you make of the play when he threw the ball away? How do you parse out blame in that instance?
I think it's just one of those things. I mean, I've seen it happen, you know, all sorts of times before. There's a little bit of...
You've seen that happen in that moment?
End of games.
End of finals game?
Not end of finals game.
Biggest player with the ball in his hand?
There's all sorts of weird stuff. Go back to... Was it Jordan's title? Wasn't there a big turnover with Georgetown? Right up at the top of the key.
You would be much more aligned with telling me about that game than I wasn't alive.
Just the little bit of chaos factor.
Yeah.
Right at that point.
A Chris Webber timeout.
So
you're putting it in that category of like a clear choke situation happened.
It's just, you saw what he was doing. I don't know if he tried to yell at him. I don't know if...
He yelled after he threw the ball and realized he wasn't looking back at him. Like, you parsed out blame. Who would you parse it out to?
It's on Wemby because you always have to be... If you're going to make a pass, you have to know the guy sees it coming.
Yeah. I also think, like, with Castle, you could say, was he guard? Should be turning back. How many times in the season has Castle seen Wemby with the ball there and think, oh, he's going to dribble it up. I'm going to get on the wing. I'm going to space it out here.
As I saw the play happen, my first question was, did Wemby really foul him? Or did Brunson fall down?
I think Wemby fouled him.
Wemby fouled him.
He's 7'6".
I understand
he's skinny.
That.
He still weighs more than him. As soon as the ball left his hands on the pass, Wemby, I was like, oh, yeah. And then Brunson just right there picking it up. And then he fouls and gets the free throws. Mitch Johnson's catching some flack for not calling a timeout.
I think a lot of times in those situations, especially if you have, if it looks like you have a fast break opportunity and get down there, one, it was a tied game. So I think you're trying to get down there before the Knicks can set up any sort of defense.
You trust your guys on
fast breaks. And I think you trust the guys.
Yeah. I agree with that.
At that point. So I don't think there's a lot of blame. That was just a physical mistake from Wemby, who thought the guy was open. He saw a defender come at him at the last second, didn't want to, you know, either travel or run over him. So he got rid of the basketball, but the communication wasn't there.
I do 90% Wemby, 5 Castle, 5 Mitch Johnson. Because I do agree. I think coaches now are so prone to let their teams go. And you could say, well, young team, big moment, call play.
And that's something
that, by the way, situational
stuff that all teams practice at the end of practices.
They got a great look at the horn, dude. It's not like he didn't come up with a play to help him out. Here is Mitch Johnson on the Spurs fourth quarter woes so far through the finals.
We have not played to our standard. New York's played very well. They have something to do with that. And we have to just be better at some of those things. You know, we got them late clock a ton. We fouled Ananobi on a 3, baseline out of bounds. Brunson gets a quick pass to a layup without any resistance. And then obviously, you know, loose ball foul there at the end, like you said. We've put ourselves in positions at times to make them miss, and we have to clean up the rebound and finish possessions out, and we have to be better again at taking advantage of when we put ourselves in good starting spots to take advantage of the things that we are doing well.
Here is Victor Wembanyama on NFL playoff learning curve. It's a big thing in the history of the league of, like, guys this age, when they finally get their first run, they don't largely come through. He is 22 years old, so he's still relatively young. But he felt different, I think, to a lot of people. They came in as the favorites. Here's Wemby on learning through the playoffs.
Oh, that's probably the area where I've progressed the most. As a rookie, everything goes so fast. It's like you don't have any control in the game. And it's like it's sometimes as a rookie, it feels like you're just watching a movie. And then, like, I start playing against these guys like Jokic, and it feels like they can slow or speed up the game as they want. And I'm like, and this looks like something I can reach someday. And I feel like I'm slowly getting there. Of course, I still have to get a lot better, but slowly getting there. But I think there's nothing better than experience.
Boy, I'll tell you, I can't speak to all the adults out there. I have realized through my daughter that Wemby has become the polarizing player in the youth. You either root for him or you root against him is what I'm learning about, you know, kids that are anywhere between 12 and 14, 16 years old. He's either unfair because he's 7'6" and incredibly gifted, or he seems like a genuinely good person who's easy to root for. I love the mentality. I'm going to bet the Knicks money line, by the way, again tonight. I'm not going to get off it. I know the third game in Madison Square Garden and all the craziness around it. I'm just in on the Knicks. I picked them to win the series. I didn't expect them to go up 2-0, but that was like a delightful surprise to get. This dude, I am looking tonight, like, when we talk about the history of players, almost all of them have to go through it. I think Magic's like the exception to the rule, and his team was pretty good. All of them have to go through it. They all have to learn. They all have to lose. And he might have to do that this year, or tonight he shows up. He's big in Game 3 at the Garden, silences Knicks fans, and we come in tomorrow and Dirt's back, and we're like, yo, what a Game 3. Holy crap, we got a series. Let's go to the other side, and here is Carl Anthony Towns on the role that he's playing for the Knicks in the finals.
Yeah, I mean, just it's about impact and winning, you know, and especially this year, you know, throughout the year, I've always had to change my role for the betterment of the team. I've always had to change the way I play so it could be most beneficial for the team. And taking all that experience this year, I've had to do it on the fly. You know, it wasn't like game by game. It's been quarter by quarter, you know, and that comes with experience and just knowledge of the game and just time playing the game, time putting shots up, time reading defenses, seeing defenses, offenses. So, like I said, one game, you know, Jalen got hurt, you know, that's when I have to be a primary scorer. And then other games, you know, when he's cooking, I got to be, you know, a facilitator, a hub, a assist maker, aggressive in playmaking. And then there's games I need to do both when he's in and I'm in, and I got to be able to do both while his shot's, you know, warming up. And, you know, there's also days where I got to be a decoy. I got to be the best screener. I got to be the best spacer for our offense. So I think that right now, whatever it takes to win, especially when you're in the NBA Finals, I'm willing to do.
Yeah, and I love it, man. Like, that's a dude that has been much maligned. Didn't matter what he accomplished in his career. He's been on good teams, winning teams, but he hasn't won a chip, and he hasn't been the number one, or he hasn't been in the MVP conversation, and people talk about his size and his ability and his skill, and he's a bit of a goofball. But because of all of those things, we've knocked him down to the point where people are like, I don't want him. I would never want him. I don't want him. Like, all right, well, Minnesota got him, and they turned it around, became a pretty good team. Now, he had help. No player does it without help, right? Spurs, if it was Wemby and a bunch of Caleb Loves, would not be in the finals. You need De'Aaron Fox. You need Castle to hit, right? Yeah. You need these guys. You need supporting cast. And then he goes to New York. Did New York have a great reputation of winning anything?
No.
No. And he gets there, and he's teamed up with the Villanova boys, and look at him now, man. Like, so I think right now, I said this earlier, I think he's the MVP of the finals. If you know, in the history of the sport, there certainly are years where I think the name gets voters to go that way. But also, those guys watch the series. The finals where Iguodala was the MVP? Yeah, because he was the best player for the Warriors. He shouldn't have been the MVP of the series. I thought LeBron should have been a finals MVP, even though they were on the losing end because of what he was doing in that series. But they didn't just hand it to Steph Curry. So I'm not convinced they'd hand it to Brunson. I think Karl-Anthony Towns so far has been the MVP in the series and for New York. What he has done and how he has played, what he's done against Wemby, it's been remarkable. The game three, hear from Mike Brown, and then also the craziness around what's potentially going to happen. The president of the United States is choosing to go to this game, and it's kind of nuts how it's changing everything around
is
MSG.
Is Elmo showing up too?
No, I don't know if Elmo makes security have to change their entire game plan the way that the president will. So we'll talk about that coming up next on 105.1 The Fan. Hey, welcome back in. Durden Sprague here on 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. Good morning. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope your weekend was great. Mine was filled with a lot of family time. I also, my niece had her graduation party yesterday. Graduation was Saturday.
So high school?
High school.
Excellent.
And very happy for her. She did it.
Is she moving on to a college or university?
Sort of.
Okay.
I think a lot of people her age, there are people obviously going to college, but like I think a lot of people her age are like,
gap year.
What is, no, more like,
or
what
the
is
value the, of, yes.
What's the choice?
Yes.
Is it really going to be worth it? Am I going to get a degree when people tell me my whole life get a degree and then that degree just somehow disappears and it's relevant?
Exactly.
I don't know.
What do you want to do? Yeah, that's, right. Yeah. What are you interested in? What do you want to do?
Yeah.
Some things you have to go to college for. You want to be a nurse or a doctor?
The party had hundreds of people, and it was
the party things.
It
are
was overwhelming,
getting out of control for graduation.
It's a big my brother-in-law's house is good size, good.
And then
party
there's multiple
house.
Ones like we're hosting. Well, you got to come to ours, then you got to go to the other person's, and
yeah, it's we'll get into it. I want to talk about the weekend.
It's a whole
a bit.
Thing.
It's a whole thing, man. But let's we'll pause after this. We'll get back into the NBA finals with Jason Minix. We got big breaking college football news to get to at the top of the hour.
My head's still shaking. Like
mine's not. It's all corrupt and awful, and in no way is shocking, but also hilarious.
No, it's not shocking, but you're just like, really?
Not good news for my Beavs. I'll just tease it with that. We were about to win this year. I think. I hope.
The line changed.
Oh, no. Actually, it probably went up. I mean, it was already up. Probably went up. We'll talk about that coming up at the top of the hour. Jason Minix in San Antonio will join us. And we got some fun with audio to get to. One is fun, but in a sad way. Another one is fun to relive because our beloved Blazers are mentioned. So we'll get some fun with audio in the third hour of the radio program. Thanks for hanging with us here on this beautiful Monday. I know it's going to rain, but it's still a beautiful Monday because we're hanging out together. So game three tonight, the Garden. Mike Brown is also Karl-Anthony Towns. You could say Mike Brown is the Karl-Anthony Towns of coaches. His resume says, hey, good coach. He's had success. And a lot of people would say, I don't trust him in the big game. They fired him for a reason. Well, Mike Brown was brought in for Tom Thibodeau. And they thought, oh, okay, Eastern Conference Finals not good enough. We're going to fire that guy. And Mike Brown was what they wanted. They thought he would be the difference maker offensively so they could get over this hump. They're up 2-0. Here's Mike Brown on what it would take to be able to go up 2-0 after two games in San Antonio.
So I thought that they were the team was diverse and had a lot of different pieces that can help you. Skill-wise, they had the X factor in Josh. And then being a veteran group, there was a hunger about this team with the way they lost the last couple of years that I thought could help bode them well getting over the hump. And then, you know, from there, you know, you guys said this before, you got to be aligned, not just horizontally, but vertically from Mr. Dolan to Leon to myself on down. And then you got to be aligned horizontally too. And I've known Leon for many years and I felt that alignment could happen. And it could be great even when times got rocky.
There's a really good story about him on The Athletic about his career and how he basically succeeded by being willing to fail. And obviously he had the baby Bron years and they got to the finals and they exceeded their expectations pretty quickly. That ran its course as it can tend to do when you don't win a championship. You got to find somebody to blame after X amount of years. And so they ended up moving on from Mike Brown, right? He then becomes an assistant, works his way around the league, has those Golden State years where he became kind of the lead fill-in guy for Steve Kerr, had a great run, gets hired by Sacramento. Sacramento hadn't been to the playoffs since Rick freaking Adelman. And what's Mike Brown do with a young cast?
Lights the beam.
He lights the mother effing beam. They get to the playoffs. They didn't have such a good year the next year. And before you know it, it's like it went from one of the best stories.
Yeah, they ship Fox out. Sabonis gets hurt. Now what's he supposed to do?
They're a three seed in the West. And then because injuries and trades happen, it's like, all right, we're going to fire you. And it for a lot of people around there, it kind of hit him out of left field. Like, what? Mike Brown's getting fired? And then De'Aaron Fox got traded. And so, like, Sacramento continues to kind of be the joke. But, dude, he lit the beam. And they didn't reward him. He ends up getting the gig in New York. And a lot of people were questioning it during the regular season. And now here we are. Now we have game three. And this one's going to be a doozy. The atmosphere should be electric. It should be charged up in that building in a way that debatably has never been in our entire lifetime. The entire city is abuzz, as you heard our rejoiner in the last segment.
Yes.
Of my mayor is Muslim, my bagel is Jewish, my Christian Dior, Nixon 4. Like, people are going nuts in New York right now. It's one of the more unifying feelings the city has had. In walks in the president of the United States of America, who decides, I'm going to go back to my home city, and I'm going to go as a guest to James Dolan. And this is changing stuff. So the security because of the president has changed a lot of what's happening. Now, I've read this stuff. I'll try to see if any of this stuff is incorrect at this point. I had just seen, last I'd seen about this yesterday, a lot of people have to get near the arena within 2 hours of the game. Now, they're already going to be down there, but like they have to get into the arena at a certain time, and it's almost 2 hours early.
Yeah. The advance team.
They have to be in there because there has to be the security detail.
Yeah.
The New York Police Department, the beloved NYPD.
I would imagine, I'm sure it's blocked off a little bit around it, but now I don't know what the perimeter around that they have to block off.
Changed everything now with Secret Service. They were going to have their own, for the guys not working, they were going to have their own watch party. That's cut.
Yeah.
Because everybody's got to be on detail and working now. The outside watch parties themselves that have been happening. Dude, there have been videos of guys in apartments putting projectors on buildings and neighborhoods watching on a projector of somebody's stream. Like, it is legitimately unifying the city, this Knicks run, which is a great sight to see. But they're having to cancel watch parties all around Madison Square Garden now because of this. And we don't know is he going to be sitting with Dolan? Is he going to, I don't know if people have updated it. Is he going to be in a suite? I just find it an odd decision.
Yeah.
And he's, of course, been invited by James Dolan, who's obviously a big fan, a big Trumper.
Yeah.
It's just an odd decision.
It's not like he just decided I'm swooping in.
This is not, in my opinion, what the city and the franchise needs right now is to have.
Yeah.
It's already going to be a circus.
Yeah.
And now, in the midst of Barnum and Bailey, in walks in the acrobat painted people. What is it? The Cirque du Soleil.
Yeah.
You have Barnum and Bailey happening. We got lions and we got elephants and we got motorcycles and metal cages. And in walks in Cirque du Soleil, like, all right, it's all about us now. Like, that's what's happening. It's absolute insanity what's happening in New York because the president is deciding to go. And what do you think is going to be? Because you know they're going to have to shout him out. Is it a mix? Is it a straight boo, like loudly? Is it a surprisingly loud cheer? Because the financial distribution here, the attendance, is like not some of the people in New York that want to go to this game, diehards. It's some of the Richie Riches. Like, what's Spike Lee going to be wearing tonight? It has to be Knicks gear. Can't be Trump-related, even though he's anti-Trump. Like,
no, he's wearing his Knicks gear.
Is there anything anti the president, though? There's a lot of things I'm wondering about this whole setup.
I have no idea. Some of me thinks they'll be up in a suite, most likely for security reasons.
So I would think he's going to be in a suite. But he's going to be announced at some point, right?
I would think so.
They have to show him on the Jumbotron once.
Show him on the Jumbotron.
You know ABC's going to show him.
The TV will show him.
They'll have
definitely
to announce his easier. The President of the United States is here.
The crowd, though, like the Knicks fans are kind of like, okay, you're here, but
I've told
we have
people,
game three.
I've told people in the building, I think it's going to be a little more mixed than you think because they think he's going to be universally booed. And I'm like, I think it's going to be a little more mixed than you think.
I think there's going to be more ambivalence to him than you might think.
I think it's going to be a quick show on the Jumbotron and move right on.
Yeah. This
if
is
anything.
Game three.
Now, maybe
we
the
win
section
this.
He's yeah. above in the suite, maybe they get a little rowdy. I don't know. But it's just, it's absolute insanity that he's adding to this. It's already crazy enough. We don't need Cirque du Soleil interrupting our Barnum and Bailey show. It's already a circus, man. So we'll see. Wait, see what happens. Game three. It's got to be nuts. We'll have a lot of reaction to it tomorrow. We'll dive back into the finals in the final hour. A lot to get to in the third, including big breaking news out of college football. Shouldn't be surprising, but still is. Hour three. We tell you what it is on 105.1 The Fan.